Good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 9th of February 2021, our Tuesday class. So we will continue from where we stopped. We are using this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, teachings from the adapted verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are on page 117, after that, so we'll continue from there. So as usual, we will have our puja. Let us recall to mind all the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. The spiritual faculties of sadha and virya are very important. Sadha is faith and the Buddha and his teaching. Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate his teaching, to walk the path of Dhamma, to go this way. So with the faith and the tenacity or spiritual zeal, we shall develop diligently this heedfulness or sati, mindfulness. Okay, just relax body and mind and prepare for meditation. So as usual, we will off the light and have half an hour of silent inner awareness based meditation. So just relax body and mind, then maintain awareness for as long as you can. This is to develop the stability of sati or mindfulness or the awareness nature within. So the first three or the four support is very important. Relax, aware, then maintain awareness or 24-hour for as long as you can. And the last support is trust. You only get to do it when you have stabilized everything. When you are able to develop the silent mind, until that silent mind is already very stable, then your sati will transform. And when your sati transform and become more refined, you will realize a more refined sati that will enable you to stabilize your awareness nature within. You have to train that mind, the awareness nature, the stability, until the mind enters sati. For the mind that enters sati, it must reach the stage of pasati. The mind becomes very quiet, very still, very tranquil, just aware within, without thought. It's a free mind that is in a state of tranquility, stillness. That is pasati. So when you can realize that state, then the mind will enter sati. When the mind enters sati, you become different. Your mindfulness becomes very sensitive. You are fully aware most of the time. Then your daily mindfulness become very different. Sati sampajana also become very different. It's only after you have developed this mind, then you can be aware wherever you locate that mind. Then during this time, you can try to develop awareness of your heart area. Wherever there is any vibration or your heartbeat, you will be able to locate them. The moment you are silent, you are aware, and the awareness is very sensitive. So you just relax everything, silent, aware, then let things be. The last support trust is to not use your thought to direct your meditation. Just silent everything and maintain awareness and let the nature do its work. Trust means meditate with the true nature, with awareness, without thought interfering. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. So I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. So remember, relax, away, and stabilize it, maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just silent. This is a continuation. The Buddha also taught us that if we want to free our mind or free ourselves from samsara, we must learn to eliminate affliction. Eliminating affliction is very important. It means to develop the wisdom to awaken so that we are not deluded anymore, so that we will not be afflicted by anything that happened to us or the world. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. So you can accept them for what they are and the world for what it is. You'll be at peace. There will be no affliction, no suffering. Suffering only arises when we choose to want things our way, when we choose to hold on to things. When we don't have the Dhamma, we will be deceived and deluded by craving, by desire, by what we believe to be real. Then that delusion will create the wrong view, the wrong thought that will condition our affliction or suffering. So eliminating affliction needs wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot do it. You will cling, you will attach, you will grasp, you will get yourself entangled with life. So wisdom is most important. Wisdom means having right view, right understanding, to accept the reality of the moment, to accept everything for what they are, to have the wisdom and understanding to see things clearly. When condition is such, things will be such, cannot be other way. Just like what the Buddha taught us. He said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. That is the truth, that is the reality. So you cannot go against reality, because our world that we live in is a condition arising world. Dependent on condition, things arise. So if it's a dependent originating world or condition arising world, whatever that arises, definitely there are causes and conditions behind. So we only need to develop the Dhamma understanding to understand the reason behind all this. Means to understand the causes and conditions that governs life and existence. That's why the Buddha's teaching is very profound and very complete. It teaches us the Dhamma, the truth. Truth with regards to all of the nature's law that governs life and existence. The Buddha during his time already knew all this. That's why he can summarize the five universal law of nature. He called it the Pancha Niyama. Pancha means five. Niyamas means universal order of nature. The first two are scientific law, he said. There is this law that defines physical things. He said, there is a physical law of nature that governs life and existence of all physical things. So the scientists, they have understood this. That's why they study physics, they study chemistry. Then there is another law which the Buddha called Bija Niyama, the biological order of nature. So this one is related to biology. So basically it's physics, chemistry, biology, the scientific law. So this division into Uddaniyama and Vijñāniyama sets clearly the scientific law that governs life and existence. So the scientist has understood a very big aspect of these two laws. That's the reason why our last 30 to 40 years of civilization, we evolve and progress very fast, because we have a lot of new understanding and breakthrough based on this scientific understanding. So similarly, the Buddha, he is the Buddha is because he also understands on top of the two scientific law, the spiritual laws that governs life and existence. And this is most important, that these spiritual laws, they are very powerful. They really governs all of life and existence. The first one is karma niyama, or law of karma. So karma means moral causation, cause and effect. It must involve mental intention or cetana. That's the reason why the Buddha always say it is cetana that I call karma. So without the mental intention behind, there is no karmic action. So karmic action depends on the mental intention behind. If the mental intention is evil, then evil karma will arise. If the mental intention is pure and wholesome, then wholesome karma will arise. Then the fruition of it is based on this law, karma niyama, law of karma. That's why the Buddha came to understand this very powerful law. He said, this is a very, very important law that living being must understand. Based on moral causation, you reap what you sow. If you do good, you will obtain goodness. If you do evil, evil will come to you. So you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. That's what this karma niyama is all about. Then he also came to know a very important, profound fact after a long period of cultivation. That's why he included it under the five daily contemplation. The fifth one, the last one, he said, each and every one of us, all living beings, not only human beings, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So when you have this understanding, you will know our life depends almost entirely on karma. So what must we do? We must take care of karma, otherwise we suffer. Otherwise we will be afflicted. So how do we take care of karma? We have to follow the advice of the Buddha. That is how his teaching comes about. And the advice of all Samasa Buddha, they are being stated in the teaching as Dhammapada verse 183. Dhammapada verse 183, the famous advice of the Buddha. In Pali, the Buddha chanted as Sabba Papasa Akaranam Kusalesa Upasampadan Sachitta Pariyottapanam Etang Buddhana Sasana. There are basically three important advices. The Buddha said, you have to first avoid all evil. Sabbe is all, papasa is evil, akaranam, you have to avoid all evil. so that you will not develop evil intent to arise the evil karma that will cause your karmic nature to fall. Then your life will be afflicted because we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So avoiding all evil is the first thing you have to do to take care of karma. And how do we avoid all evil? The Buddha prescribed that all living beings or human beings must keep the five precepts, minimum the five precepts. Why? Because whoever who violate these five precepts commits major evil. You can put it to test. You can check it out, all the precepts. Especially the first precept. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhi yami. What does it mean? The Buddha said the first precept is to undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. Who will kill and cause harm to fellow living beings? Only deluded people, selfish people, violent people, with all the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, will do this. That's why the three major evil roots are all there. So if you violate this first precept, you will create severe evil karma. That's why to avoid all evil, you have to keep your precepts. Avoid killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. And this is very important because you reap what you sow. If you kill and harm people, in future, the karmic friction, it will create condition for you to be the victim so that people will kill you, harm you, and cause suffering and misery or affliction to you. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, you better keep your precepts. So the second, third, fourth, and fifth precept, if you were to inquire into it, analyze it, and understand it, you will come to realize the Buddha is very wise. Each and every of these precepts you violate, you break them, it constitutes major evil because the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they are always there, especially delusion, ignorance. So this is the first advice. And to do it, we have to keep the precepts. That's how the teaching comes about. That's why every important spiritual activity commences with the puja. And within the puja, the Buddha taught us a lot of essential things that are very beneficial to our progress in the cultivation. First, we have to chant the salutation to the Buddha. Then we take refuge, the three refuges. Then we renew our precept straight away. If you don't renew your precept, then you are not reminding yourself to develop that mindfulness and the heedfulness to constantly remind yourself not to break the precept. That is how you avoid all evil. Then after that, there are puja offerings that also taught us how to reflect and contemplate on the teachings, the significance of all those puja offerings, like flower, fruits, clear water, incense, and whatever. So all this has great meaning. Then after that, usually we will chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha so that we understand what these triple gems are, so that we can take refuge appropriately. We just chant Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, but we don't know who the Buddha is. is great nine virtue, then no meaning. Then how do you take refuge? When you chant Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, you go to a Dhamma for refuge, but you don't know what is the Dhamma. That's why you have to chant the salutation to the Dhamma, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. What is this Dhamma? Then when you take refuge, means you hold on to it. You have faith and you cultivate it. Because this is the Dhamma that can liberate your mind, give rise to wisdom, that can awaken the individual. Then the Buddha, being the Sammasambuddha, the fully perfected one, the foremost in wisdom and virtue, the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born, he sure have the Dhamma. That's why you take refuge in the Buddha with his nine great virtue. You will have great affinity with great beings, with Sammasambuddha. And you will definitely be blessed, protected and guided accordingly. And when you take refuge with the Sangha, the Aryan Sangha or the enlightened disciples of the Buddha, they also definitely has the Dhamma because they are enlightened disciples of the Buddha. So when you take refuge in this tree, we call it the triple gem. The reason why they call it gem is the gemstone are the most precious among the precious stones. That's why it's called the gemstone. So the triple gem is like the gem within this universe. So we take refuge. So refuge is very important. And the second advice is kusalesa upasampadam. Kusala means wholesomeness. Whatever wholesomeness we must do whenever there is condition to do. So to cultivate the second advice, we have to follow the Noble Eightfold Path. We have to develop the right view, to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then cultivate the four right effort to constantly develop more and more wholesomeness to avoid all evil. So avoiding all evil is keeping precept. To do it, we have to train our mind to develop mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Then after that, we have to develop the appropriate right view or right understanding, means the five universal order that governs life and existence. So I have explained only the first spiritual law, law of karma. So this one will cover a very important aspect of the teaching so that we know how to live our life. If we follow the advice of the Buddha, our life will change. We will transform our nature, our karmic nature, and we will develop beautiful spiritual nature. So when we take care of karma, we take care of life, we will have the good life. We will be able to avoid all evil. We will do more and more wholesomeness, which will lead to more and more blessings, merits, and goodness. And this will be our inheritance because you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. Then we can make use of these merits of parami or wholesomeness. We can invoke power of merits. We can make use of it for the benefits of all. We can be a blessing to all too. So this wholesomeness, cultivation of wholesomeness, is like developing virtue. Right thought. From right view, we develop right thought. Right thought that are very wholesome, very virtuous, very beautiful, very conducive for good life, good karma. So that we can really be a blessing to all. Then we will also have the ability to communicate and conduct ourselves very well through right speech, appropriate, gentle, pleasant, and appropriate good speeches. Then we also will act righteously. We will act with understanding, Dhamma, without the evil roots. So we will be able to arise the right thought, right speech, and right action to live our life in accordance. That's what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. Then the four right effort is to enable us to constantly purify. The first right effort is to abandon the wrong thought, wrong action, and wrong speech that has arisen. Then later on, when you become more skilled and more adept to the initial wisdom and understanding of the Dhamma, then with the mindfulness and the heedfulness, you can arise a second right effort to prevent the arising of this wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. When you can do that, means your training, your cultivation has reached quite a stable level. Otherwise, you cannot prevent it from arising. Because a lot of people develop so strong habitual tendency of wrong thought. They keep on arising wrong thought, like taking breakfast every day. So the habitual tendency has become so habitual, they react to sense experience almost every moment, every instant within their conscious life. Whatever they see, they hear, they smell, they taste, they tactile feel or think, their mind cannot be in the state of equanimity, and they cannot be at peace with the reality of the moment. There is always this wrong thought, wrong view. They keep on arising the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. They stir their mind, they react to what they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they taste, what they tactile feel and think. Yeah, they always want things their way, which is not nature's way. There is this craving born of sacrality, self-delusion. That's how they get themselves entangled. Then the final advice is sacitta. Citta is mind. You have to purify the mind. So the whole advice, sabbapapasa akaranang kusalesa upasambadan sacitta pariyodhapanam etang buddhana sasana. This is the advice of our Buddha. So to purify the mind, we need to meditate. We need to develop the three turning wisdom. Suttamaya panya, chintamaya panya, leading to bhavanamaya panya. And to really cultivate this meditative mind, we need to develop the last two Noble Eightfold Path factors, samasati and samasamadhi. So sati and samadhi are spiritual faculties. After sadhavirya, sati and samadhi will arise. Then when sati and samadhi arise, you can see things as they are, where your mind becomes very stable. Then you can develop the understanding of truth, the understanding of what is nature. Then you can see things clearly. Then you can straighten your view. And this is wisdom, panya, the last spiritual faculties. So based on this advice of the Buddha, if you follow his advice to do this three things, you will be able to have a good life. You will be able to take care of karma. That's how the teaching come about. So when you understand this, you will know how to cultivate. And this is the beginning of transformation. Your life will change for the better. Almost everything will go your way. You do this correctly and rightly. Then after that, the next spiritual law is citta niyama. The Buddha called it citta. Citta is mind. Citta niyama is the universal order of mind, the law of mind, how our mind behave or function. He said this law is very important. This Chaitanya Mahāprabhu. That's why in his teaching he taught us the Paticca Samuppada, the law of dependent origination or the dwelling, to explain clearly Chaitanya Mahāprabhu. Our mind, the mundane mind, it behaves following this law. So that dwelling defines clearly the teachings of mind. So cultivating this Paticca Samuppada is very important. To do it, you must have mindfulness. You must listen to the true Dhamma. You must reflect, contemplate, inquire, and develop clear understanding. And when you are ever mindful, constantly meditative, means you have heedfulness, then you can cultivate easily. The meditative understanding will come. When your mindfulness is very stable, you can see this link very clearly. The Paticca Samuppada link. How dependent on ignorance, avijja, paccaya sankhara. How it conditions sankhara activity, mental thinking, mental activity. Then how sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam paccaya namarupa, then namarupa paccaya salayatana, continue until the whole dwelling is completed. You will see them very clearly. Then you will understand how you get yourself entangled. Then when it comes to the sense basis salayatana, you will also understand how upon contact pasat paccaya vedana, feeling arise. Then when you are not mindful, you don't have the initial will, what they call wisdom, yoniso manasikara. If you lack yoniso manasikara, or the initial wisdom, born of Dhamma understanding, then at the moment of sense experience upon contact, not only feeling arise, straight away your delusion, sakkayadity, your ignorance, or condition, craving. So vedana paccaya tanha straight away arise. That's how it happened. And you cannot cut a feeling, you don't have wisdom. It's only wisdom that can allow you not to allow that link to continue. Without wisdom, you cannot do anything. It will arise. So what most cultivators did was the opposite, the wrong one. They did thought-based meditation. They go and suppress that feeling. They go and control that feeling. They don't want it to condition into craving. Where the moment it becomes craving, it's no longer pure feeling. It's already like and dislike. Anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, fear. So all these are the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And these are craving, leading to all the grasping, the cause of arising of suffering, the second noble truth. That's why craving is the cause of suffering. Craving born of self-delusion, ignorance, sakkayadity. So you will see all this very clearly. And when you understand that yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom that you have developed, it will come out and prompt you at the moment of sense experience. Then with the understanding of the Dhamma, your mind will liberate and free. You will be able to prevent the arising of craving or the wrong view leading to the wrong thought that condition the evil roots to condition negative karmic actions. So this is what meditation is all about. You must be heedful, you must develop mindfulness, you must have stability or sati to see the link, to understand all this movement, so that you understand how your mind stir and react to sense experience, how you become afflicted, how delusion set in, how you develop all the conditioning of mind, the belief system, the wrong view, the wrong understanding. All this come from memory. When you cling on to memory, when you act according to memory, you will have this problem. Because what is memory? Basically, memory is accumulation of experiences, good and bad, throughout life. We will experience many things. Then all these experiences, we accumulate them as memory. Some are very negative, like your phobia, your scars of memory, your deep resentment, your hatred, your anger, your insecurity, your negativity of mind state. Then all this, especially scars of memory, phobia, fear, insecurity, your views and your opinion and your conditioning, they will cause you to react to sense experience. And acting according to memory is not acting at all, because you are acting according to all this negative tendency or wrong view or wrong thought that are accumulated, especially your fear and phobia and your insecurity. When you act out of that, those are the evil roots, evil negative emotion born of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. And you also act according to your selfishness, your desire, your craving, your belief system. So all this is negativity of action. So it will condition wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong way to live your life. That's how the karmic downfall happened. So if we don't act according to memory, how should we act? That's where the Buddhist teaching come in. It is so different from other teaching. And human being being human being, they use a lot of their mental processes, their memory, their thought process, their thinking. So the only instrument they have is to act according to memory. If you don't believe me, you try and check yourself. If you don't act according to memory, is there any other way you can act? Without the Dhamma, you can never develop the understanding. That's the reason why, over the years after I cultivate, finally, in the year 1989, I came to this understanding. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Why should I act according to memory? Why should I act according to my fear, my phobia, my wrong view, my selfishness, my ego tendency? I don't have to. Then how should I act? I act according to understanding, which is the Dhamma way. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. So we should act according to wisdom, right view, right understanding, following the Dhamma way. And what is the Dhamma way? The Dhamma way is Noble Eightfold Path. We are under the Fourth Noble Truth. The Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So this is the meditation. This is the way to act, to live life, to free your mind from suffering, to develop the wisdom. And what is Noble Eightfold Path? Basically, it's the advice of the Buddha. If you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you are very noble in all aspects of life. That's how you avoid all evil. You develop right view to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness. Then you develop stability or sati and samadhi to meditate, to awaken, to develop the right view, the wisdom. So acting according to wisdom, following the Dhamma way, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, is the right way to act and to live life. So to do that, we must cultivate Noble Eightfold Path until these Noble Eightfold Path factors has become a part of us. We hold the embodiment of these Noble Eightfold Path factors. That's why to be enlightened one, you must have this Noble Eightfold Path embodiment with you. Whatever meditation you do, if it does not bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path to perfect yourself, to have this quality within you, the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path within you, then that is not the teachings of the Buddha. That is something else. Whereas the teaching of the Buddha is always back to Noble Eightfold Path. When you have Noble Eightfold Path, you are wise, you are virtuous, you are beautiful. You are very noble in all aspects of life. You understand life clearly. You are very noble in the way you arise a thought process, in the way you communicate with people, in the way you act and live your life. Then you are constantly purifying your mind with the four right effort, with the meditative training. That's what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. So this will explain clearly to you what the spiritual law of mind is all about. And it will tie in with the four number two, especially the first number two leading to the second number two, the third number two, and the fourth number two, and the three things. The law of mind, that one tie up the whole teaching. Then from the law of mind, the Buddha came to understand Dhammapada verses, especially 1 and 2, the twin verse. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. Where mind arises, all things arise. So this is so beautiful. This is what understanding is all about. We must develop the training of the mind to understand that we have two minds. The original mind is the true mind. That true mind is without thought. It's just aware. It's just a nature within. Then from that nature we arise. That's how it conditions thinking, sankhara activity, the mundane mind. So mundane mind is the one that is linked to karmic. Mundane mind is the one that has the content of consciousness when you input them. And this content of consciousness, initially when you input them, they are always wrong thought before you are enlightened. Why? Because they are from memory, based on your views, opinion, and conditioning. It's not based on wisdom. So the content of consciousness that go in always has problem, unless you have developed the right view, the right understanding, the wisdom. So this is a very important understanding. That's the reason why there are a lot of teachers, when they come out and teach, when they have the understanding, especially Jay Krishnamurti, he said, don't try to do good. Don't try to be right. What is the meaning? Because when you are not enlightened, whatever good you do is a condition good. Good according to who, you never ask. Good according to the individual, to you, then it's a condition good. It's not the real goodness. So in order to develop wisdom, Jay Krishnamurti and the Buddha, actually they speak the same. Jay Krishnamurti say, the absence of ego is good. Can you develop the awareness to be aware of your mental intention within, so that you cannot arise any evil thought leading to the evil action and speech. That's why the absence of evil is good. What is absent of evil? Exactly like the Buddha's first advice, avoid all evil. If you avoid all evil, there is no evil, isn't it? There is the absence of evil. So don't try to do good initially. Develop mindfulness, heedfulness to be aware, so that the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are not there. So that you can arise a full right effort to constantly purify until you are incapable of evil. That's how you develop the understanding. So the absence of evil is automatically good. If you are incapable of evil, what person are you? You are definitely a virtuous person, a kind, compassionate, and loving person without evil mental intent behind, without the evil roots. So this is how the teaching flow. This is how we can develop the clear understanding. Then after that, we go on to the third right view. The third right view, the Buddha called it Dhamma Niyama. Dhamma is truth. The teachings of the Buddha is truth, nothing else but truth. And the essence of his teaching is called the Four Noble Truths. These are noble truths because if you understand them, they become noble ones. So these are truths that can transform living beings and make them noble ones. Noble ones in the time of the Buddha, they are called Aryas, enlightened beings. Why? Because they are very noble in all aspects of life. That's why they are called noble ones. They are noble in their understanding of life. They have right view, right understanding with regards to the Panchaniyama. Then they have virtues, a very noble way of conducting themselves. They keep on arising right thought through the right view and the right understanding. Then thought condition, right action, and right speech. So all this will make them very noble in the way they communicate with people, in the way they conduct themselves, in the way they arise their thought process. So they are very noble in all aspects of life. Then in the way they train their mind, they have the four right effort constantly developing them. They have right mindfulness to be aware, to be heedful, to arise the right understanding. Then they have the stability of samadhi to allow them to see things as they are, insight into phenomena to awaken. That's how Noble Eightfold Path make them noble in all aspects of life. So this Four Noble Truths, they are the essence of the Buddha's teaching, and all the essential Dhamma spin out from this Four Noble Truths. So the third right view is to understand the essential Dhamma, all the other truths that the Buddha taught, which are just the spin off from the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. So this will complete the explanation of the advice of the Buddha, the Panchaniyama, so that we will truly understand the Dhamma. When you understand the Dhamma, you understand life, you know how to live life, then you become beautiful, and you can awaken, you can become enlightened. That's how the Dhamma can transform living beings and make us beautiful. So you must cherish your good karma for being born a human this life, for having the affinity with Triple Gem to come into contact with the teaching, the Dhamma, during this Buddha's last night. So we must have gratitude We must cherish this good condition, and we must strive on with heedfulness to cultivate all these beautiful teachings. Otherwise, it's a waste. This is the golden opportunity, the golden window, the most important window. You miss this, you are going to miss for a long time. So with this, we go back to the notes, the sharing. Today, I think we will only cover a little bit. Okay, I'll read through again now, you will understand. The Buddha also taught us that if we want to free ourselves from samsara, we must learn to eliminate affliction. So just now I explained the whole thing. The mind ceaselessly goes through the state of arising, abiding, changing, and ceasing. So this four-stage cycle I've explained before. This constant fluctuation creates much suffering. If we do not understand that the karma we create in the past life has led to less than ideal situation in this life, we will only be aware of the affliction and trouble of all this life and will continue to remain lost and confused in the sea or ocean of suffering in our future lifetime. This is very true. We are living beings, most of them, before they become enlightened. They don't understand why they are in this state when born into this conditioned world, especially those who are with negativity or karmic past. So they can't understand. They say, why is God so unfair? Why is life so miserable? Actually, it has a lot to do with your karmic past. So if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you don't know how to approach it. You don't know how to overcome it. You don't know how to turn around. So understanding will lead to wisdom that will enable you to turn around things. If you know it's karmic, then you know what to do. You can act. Act with wisdom. If it's karmic, then I have to accept that reality. Then the past is already gone. I can't change. So what must I do? I must immediately do what I need to do. First, ask for forgiveness, repent, then determine not to repeat all this by following the advice of the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 183, just now we have gone through, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Then your life change. Then invoke power of merits, the final one. But after you are cultivated, based on following the advice of the Buddha, and then you will develop wisdom, virtue, merits, blessings. Then you invoke power of merits, power of blessings and wholesomeness for causes and conditions to turn things around, to improve your life, to gain back your life. So this is how you can do it. Otherwise you will be trapped. Okay, I'll read on. As we learn the Buddha's way, we need to learn how to attain a state of freedom by understanding that life is fundamentally beyond arising and ceasing. If we can return to our non-arising, non-ceasing intrinsic nature, this is our true mind, our true nature, which is the unconditioned. That's why it's non-arising, non-ceasing. We will have no more worries about life and death or birth and death. And we will clearly understand how we did in past life have affected the present and know what action to take in the present. This is very true. This is how we cross the river of cyclic existence to the other shore, Nirvana. Nirvana, also known as the land of calm illumination, is a state of tranquility and clarity. I think this one we have to clarify it a bit. I don't know why the author write it this way. And Nirvana is not a place. It's not a land of calm illumination. There's no nothing there. It's also not a state of tranquility or clarity. It's the unconditioned. When you realize Nibbana, the one that realize that cessation will understand the form of mind when it come up, because it's unconditioned. There is nothing there. So this one, you will have to maybe keep in mind. Yeah? I don't know why he wrote it this way. Maybe read the Mandarin. I think the translation is wrong. Let my wife read the Mandarin one, because definitely that is not the correct translation. Nipan.
Nipan 又称寂光土，是经济清晨的心地风光。因为心灵境界已脱离不由自己的烦恼束缚，所以能回归本具不灭的佛性。
Okay. I think now I maybe understand what she meant. Okay, thank you. So those who understand Mandarin will understand, because the first part is definitely not correct. The first part is just an illustration. Because the second part that explains all this will make it clear. He said, when our state of mind is no longer trapped by all the entanglement of external phenomena and affliction, we can return to our intrinsic ever-abiding Buddha nature. Means you return to the true nature. Reaching the shore of Nirvana does not refer to dying, but describe the mind of a great enlightened being who has freed himself from all the affliction and suffering of this world. Thus, he has returned to the land of calm illumination. Actually, this is misleading. The Nirvana is not a place. So it's maybe figuratively to describe the land of calm illumination and achieve a state beyond arising and ceasing. This part is correct. It's not a state actually. Realize that cessation, which is Nibbana, means the unconditioned. This is what is meant to reach the shore of Nirvana. So bear in mind, it's not a land, it's not a place, it's not a state. It's just the unconditioned. When the mind realizes itself and sees true wisdom, when there is no more craving, no more delusion, no more ignorance, then cessation will arise. And when it arises, only the form and mind that goes through it understand. So this part, maybe you all just take note that. Make a note. The process of learning the Buddha's way is just like learning how to navigate our life. Very true. So the process of learning the Buddha's way means cultivating this Bodhisattva way. It's just like learning how to navigate our life. Thanks to the guidance of the great beings, the great masters, Bodhman, we are able to find our way. The Dhamma has always been intrinsic in the nature of every human being. When the waves of desire are agitated and the wind of ignorance started blowing, our ship lose the way, their way, and we find ourselves in danger. However, if we can learn to use the teachings of the Buddha to contain the desire in our mind, then our ship can travel on a steady course to safety, to safely arrive at the other shore. And this is very true. This is very true. So we have completed that section. So maybe I will just read the title. The next section is Bodhisattva play effortlessly in the world. Their thoughts are free of greed, hatred, and delusion. Here, attachment is also greed. Then hatred and delusion is under ignorance and hindrance. They are as courageous as lions and as pure new born. So this is a figurative example, I think, to explain the courage of Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva, because of their understanding, they are different. But the translation, I think some of the words are not so precise and not so good. Bodhisattva play, the word play is not correct. Read the Mandarin. Read the Mandarin. Read the whole thing. Read the whole thing.
菩萨
push all the way up.
菩萨游戏人间，亦无贪着障碍，如狮子勇猛，如彻子纯真。
Oh, okay. That's why I suspect the English word is wrong. In Mandarin, you is like go round.
Play around.
No, not play around. No, you see means you travel, you tour, not play. Play is like tittle, play. No, it's you tour, you see. Like you go and travel, you what? That's why Mandarin word, you have to be very careful. Otherwise, the translation not easy. Maybe the translator try his very best to use the English word. That's why he used the word play. Actually, it's not play, it's tour. When they tour the world, effortlessly. Because of their wisdom, they know how to accord and flow. That's why it's like without effort. But they have to do all this with understanding, with wisdom. They must have strong vows, very heavy vows, very what they call extensive vows. Otherwise they can't. Then they must have the right view, the right understanding. That's why their thoughts are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. And they are as courageous as comparing to lions and pure newborn. The reason why they compare with the pure newborn is because when a child is just born into this world, their consciousness is more or less like an enlightened being. They have pure perception. They really see things as they are, but they don't have the wisdom and the understanding. They don't know what this thing is. Their brain are not developed. They don't have all the conditioning. They have yet to experience life. Their brain are still very pure, very naive. That's why when you look at a child, the child is very innocent, very naive. Because they don't have the cunningness, the very shrewd type of quality in them. They don't have all these views, opinion, and condition, the craving, the desire, all those. They haven't accumulated them. They haven't learned them. So because of that, they are really as pure as newborn. But the difference between the Bodhisattva or the enlightened being and the newborn is they are able to live life and see things like a baby. The pure perception, the awareness, But they have the memory with them. They have the accumulation in the brain. But because of their wisdom, they are not affected by it. They will not use it. They know how to actually make use of the brain. The brain actually has its purpose and usage. That's why not all memory are bad memory. There are certain type of memory which are useful for us. So accumulation, memory, there are two major parts. One is psychological memory. Psychological memories, most of the time, they are negative. Because before you are enlightened, all of the psychological memory are very negative. Most of it. Most of it. Then you have the mechanical memory, where there is no psychological mental thing inside there. Means pure mechanical memory. Like you remember your name, where you live, then your memory of mathematical formulas, scientific understanding and all those things, maths and all those things, these are mechanical memories and they can be useful. Sometimes you have to remember where you live, how you sign your check, then where you maintain your bank account, then you need mechanical memory to study mechanical things, scientific things, and all these things. But when it comes to psychological memory, it tends to complicate matter. Because before you are enlightened, psychological memories are mostly with the evil roots. That's why when you act according to memory, it's mainly psychological memory. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your fear, your phobia, your selfishness, and your craving, your desire, your insecurity, scars of memory, everything. They condition you. Especially tradition, belief system, and all these things. So these are the aspects of Dhamma that we should understand so that we will not get ourselves entangled. So when it comes to cultivation, there are a lot of things that we need to understand. And we will open up for second session, which is meditation reporting.
Omitofo.
Sadhu.
跟着他的指示做就对了。那么祝福给阿弥陀佛。主要就是说感恩，非常感恩你们。还有新年就到了，就祝福你们吉祥安康，福慧增进。充满法喜。才的就讲的，你跟着做就对了。
是的，是的。OK。
Thank you very much. Mr. Steele, Brother Steele, Mr. Steele. Happy Chinese New Year to you.
是的，是的。
Hope that this year we will, the COVID will go away.
Yeah,
and then we can meet up.
Yeah, he will be contained. He will be contained.
And so all the classmates all can meet up.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the whole year of gratitude. Thank you very much for the whole year of giving us talks three times a week.
The Zoom sharing, huh? We should also thank my daughter, they all, Jin Hao, they all, and all those who make all this possible, Suyan, they all. Huh?
Yeah, and all the high-tech people to make it possible.
Yeah, the youth also. Then many of them help out to actually contribute towards the possibility of doing all this.
So we actually got more opportunity to listen to your talks.
Yeah. Especially now with the video and the MP3. It helped a lot. Oh, yeah. Sian just sent me today 10 MP3 players. So whoever come drop by, remember to ask for it so I can pass you a set. You want to reserve, you text me. I keep for you. You can, you want a set? I keep one set for you.
I have one set I'm supposed to collect from Man Yuan.
okay, then no problem.
Thank you very much. Have one set that you can listen. For those times that, you know, we miss, not available.
And this one is very clear, the recording. You don't need Wi-Fi to play it. And then no distortion, nothing. Sometimes your Wi-Fi connection not so good. It may have some form of distortion.
Sometimes there's a distortion.
Yeah.
So, a happy, healthy Chinese New Year to everyone.
Okay, Amita. So we wish you the same too. So do you have any reporting of meditation or question, Yinjan?
Any reports?
Or question that you might have to ask?
Not so much. Didn't progress that much. But feel like a little better.
Definitely. We almost Kaya Mita progress. The only thing is maybe you all may not see it so obviously because the changes that happen over time or over the training, only people around you can see. Unless you are serious cultivator, then you will also know when you transform because the Dhamma is Pachetang. But most people doesn't realize until when somebody point out, because these are cultivators that are not the very serious one that progress very fast on. These are the ones that more gradual, more steady on. So all Kayamita has benefited in one way or another, but the one that actually can realize and see it for themselves are the one who are more serious and more diligent. Your case, definitely you progress, Yinjan. You understand much better already.
I have been understanding, but the, you know, putting it into practice is nothing.
Yeah, the daily mindfulness, you need to stabilize it. You have some form of contemplative wisdom, yoniso manasikara, that one come in handy and help you off and on. But the next step is to stabilize the daily mindfulness. That one very important. When you can do that, you move on to the next level. Then invoke power merits for you. You have a lot of parami which you must know how to make use of. You are the one that located my nature and request me to come out and share. So this sasana and this particular grouping, all the
shouldn't have expectations.
Oh, definitely. But you must make use of that merits. By the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that you have developed, especially this life.
Hello, Bradu, Mrs. Steele. Okay, let me pass.
Yeah,
uh, Thank you, Sister Yun Chan, for nominating me.
Actually,
I feel quite tired. Just came back from my farm.
Oh, no wonder. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, 我要讲的是我还不能 stabilize 我的 daily mindfulness. 而且好像昨天有几样事情我要去 settle 的话，就我知道它里面有一点那个 sankara 一直在走。然后我就 aware 他不了，
yeah,
然后我就接着做我的either 我在写我的calligraphy 啊，
yeah,
还是在我的 daily 做我的东西的时候，
yeah,
我就 just aware 他不了， yeah. 然后就让他一直在转了，然后他就慢慢 slow down，
yeah.
Then 我就又回到，我又 feel 到我的 inner peace 了哦。对，然后我就知道，原来真的是要下一点苦功的。
Yeah.
嗯，
因为那个 understanding 很重要，你 understand 了啊，你不会给他影响到啊，他就慢慢会自己 slow down。因为你 in your daily life you got a lot of daily life activity， you have to travel to your farm， then do a lot of thing in the farm， so that type of daily mindfulness to stabilize is not easy， but it's good experience。So that you understand. Then later on when you develop the meditation, it becomes easier again. No matter how badly disturbed your daily life is, you can just relax and maintain awareness. Then it slow down and calm down very fast. Then you realize the inner peace very, very much faster. And that is very important. Until later on, like what Engbidi can do now,Yeah, she also went through. Then she realized she can just sit and be in a meditative state very fast. Like she described Chinese New Year having to clean up the house, the grills, everything. You can just do it for 2 hours plus or what. Like without thought, just mindfully aware, just do. Then not tired at all until she start to relax and rest.So the mind state is now different. Normally there's a lot of sankara moving inside there, complaining and all that. But she has gone through all those transformation and the phase. That's why she can maintain that. So for you, you are moving into another phase of training where you are more active in daily life because you very frequently go to your farm. Oh, by the way, that day, the durian you brought, very nice. The sour soup also, my wife said, very nice. Huh? Thank you so much. Huh? It's from your farm.
My pleasure, brother.
Brother,
我想 report 一下我的 meditation,
可
以吗？
可以。
那就是每天早上我起来，我都会做我的 formal sitting。
Yeah, 那个很重要。
我发觉到我能够，就是很快，就是能够，就是能够一下子就能够做 like 45 or 50 minutes.
Yeah.
But in between, 它会 aware 到那个 on and off 有一个什么 movement 那个 dot 这样浮一下， then 又下来，然后又浮一下。
Yeah, that one is good. But it will come. It will come.Then you learn to develop the mindfulness to see clearly. So all this will happen, will arise. Then you can actually be mindful of them. Why this thought? So not most of the time is the what I call the subtle subconscious release. The one that you hold on to without you even realizing it. Then that type of thought will be released. Because when you can meditate already, when you are able to develop the peace, the calmness, and the inner tranquility, the free mind, we call it zu jing, not zu ping, or zu jing. Jing is tranquility, stillness. So when you can have that type of mind, then whatever that arise from memory, your thought is respond to memory, other subtle subconscious release, they will come out. They will come out. Then you start to understand that behavior of that thought process better. So how you get all this, I won't say entangle, the subtle, slightest subtle reaction, it will attract that type of memory or thought inside there. Then when you are in that meditative state, you see it floating out, releasing. So silent and let it happen. Then later on you realize hardly anymore, no more. And most of the time, there is no more of this release and movement. And then that tranquility, that stillness will move on to another phase. Then during that time, you have that wisdom to just let things be. Think also like that, don't think also like that. And then the cessation can come. The cessation can come. Sometimes it's a gleam. Then sometimes when the condition is fulfilled, you can realize it for quite a period. So you continue to do that really regularly. Your formal sitting, you can develop the 45 minutes of good sitting. Continue to do. Then later on, when it has stabilized, go to the lying down. Sitting first, then after 15-20 minutes, you lie down. Develop the stability of it. Then you can understand the internal movement, the trust and all those things. After you go through this phase, you should go and do trust. Lie down and stay at the heart area. Then let all these things stabilize. Because you have enough understanding to do all this already. Okay, Alicia?
Okay, thank you, Bradio. Bradio, he has a lot of movement.
That is very good because you are a conscious being. Conscious being, you can become conscious, understand or not? But when you are aware, like Ingbi say, that awareness and the consciousness is different. When you are aware, actually, it's just like she aware of that vibration or those things at the eardrum or whatever. It's not a hearing consciousness. It's not the conscious hearing. It's the awareness. That's why you have to learn to develop the ability to be aware of all this movement. So the tingling sensation or whatever movement, it will move. Sometimes it's at the leg, sometimes it's... Because the body will find its own way of release. That nature will know how to move. And that is what it needs to do. Because we are a conscious being. We can become conscious of all these things. But before it becomes conscious, it is just aware. If you just aware and just let it be, then it's just aware. It will not move on to the conscious. Most human beings is not only it move on to the conscious, the thought, the movement, the thinking, everything come out already, the proliferation of thought. So they can't even develop the ability to be in that tranquil state of awareness, silent. So that tranquil state of awareness or silent is a meditative skill which you have developed. Otherwise, all this movement cannot happen to you. That's why it is a natural response from the nature inside. Where it go, you cannot decide. That it just happened because you are just relaxed and maintain awareness. Then it's like you let things be, like that free mind, just aware. Just let it happen. Then later on, it will stabilize. Then you will come to realize the best posture is lying down. Then lying down also got that sensation, the movement, the tickling. So it can be all over. And sometimes it's inside there. Then how we become gas and all this thing. Oh, you can see. Very interesting. That's why the power of mindfulness is very beautiful. That mindfulness nature, that awareness inside there, it will move. And it will trigger off transformation and like activate or open up all those areas all by itself. And that's why we use the word trust. Trust that nature to do no interference from the thought process or the mind. So just let it happen. The key is relax, 放松, relax. Whatever happens, you think you are relaxed, you have to remind yourself, relax. The more you can relax, the more things happen. Then sometimes when you are so relaxed until like completely relaxed, oh, that mind is very different again. A lot of things will happen inside that. So you have to go through all this. That's why the real meditation is not what people think. There are still a lot of things which are belong to the awareness nature, that type of mind, not the mundane mind. So the people doing thought-based meditation can never experience all this, can never understand all this. Well, this movement is pertaining to that nature inside. And that nature that know how to completely relax is so beautiful. That's why that awareness nature is just move and do its thing so marvelously. and sometimes you don't know how to describe it also, because it just happens so nicely. Even at that time, when you are so relaxed and just aware, the gas that come out, even you want to like release the gas or what, because it's very natural, it come out like very slow, soothing and very strange way. It's like not being forced at all. And you can feel that relief and all those things. That's why each and every cultivator, as you go through, you will experience all these things. So for you, it's good, Alicia. Continue to do the sitting, maintain the ability to be in that quiet, tranquil state. Then let all these things happen. And you have to continuously maintain awareness and observe. Then you will learn many things. Just let it happen. And later on, revert back to lying down. You are more used to sitting, then sit for at least 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Also, never mind. Sometimes you want 45 minutes, do it. Then after that, try to lie down. Try to lie down. And the lying down will make you more stable.
OK, 好，谢谢 Brother Tio， 感恩。Brother Tio， 刚才我叫车回来的时候我在路上，因为在 MRL 有一个 police block， 所以他在checking 嘛，所以在塞车的时候但我一 relax 下来我整个人好像要 go into unconscious。
是吗？你太累还是什么？
对，是有点累，是有点累。But 当他整个来怎样讲，我也讲不出来。他好像来
整。I know. Very good. Because
整个好，
This is how you can do it because you have awareness.
Yeah, it's like
awareness.
它是 soft 这样，会浮这样。Then after that, you like
want to go into the unconscious already.
Yes, but awareness,
you're
fully aware
the world. Your awareness inside is maintained, yes.
Yes.
It happened to me before, many years ago. You will go through that phase. There was once, I remember, I think I was with my wife. Then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. My whole body like want to shut down. Like you say, want to go into the unconscious, shut down. Then I can feel it. Then because it's like shut down already and I let it happen because I don't want to resist. Then I like suddenly drop down. But I was fully aware. But my wife didn't know. He thought what happened. I said, don't worry. I said, just let me rest. Because I was fully aware of the whole thing. That phase is let me go through so that I understand what this thing is. Then after that, I recover. Then I come out of it. So if you have this ability, means you know how to die. You understand? No? The death process also same way. When you are very tired, the life force, everything will start to dissipate and all those things. Then you will reach that stage where your awareness is the only thing left. Then the awareness can see all the, this. I can saw my karmic force, how it dissipate and become like no more. Then it is, and how that consciousness come up. So later on, all this is very interesting, and you will know how to die, and you know what death is. Actually, nothing dies. It is the awareness that remain. Then the random of consciousness, they can come out, no problem. Then there is a lot of other things that will happen. So this is something very beautiful. Means you can be aware of things that are going to happen. So this understanding will also enable you to be more careful. If you are too tired, need to rest, better have some rest or some good rest first before you continue to drive. Because otherwise, same day, you drive all the way up and at the farm you do a lot of activity and work, then you drive back. Sometimes it can be really tiring. Then the body will want to shut down. So while you are driving, it shut down. Not so good. So it's a good thing. But learn from it.
Thank you, Brother Dio.
Yeah.
当需要那个只是他 feel 不到那个 like 你的脚是踏着那个 break 的吗？
对，
什么都没有，就好像
是一个对，那个时候 awareness only, you are not conscious, you are aware only.
好，谢谢 Brother Dio, 感恩啊！我在 Brother Dio 这里学很多，要学的还是很多。
也是很好啊 ，That's why you go through all this. That's why I can share. So all these are possible. They can actually happen. That's why unless somebody really go through it, I cannot explain.
好，我在这里祝 Radio Music Studio 苏怡跟 Crystal Ryan 哈，还有 Crystal Ryan 还有全部白拉米达，新年快乐，大家 stay safe, and then 继续我们继续一起学习，一起努力。
阿弥陀佛，
阿弥陀佛。
阿弥陀佛。Let us rejoice.
感恩。
萨丢。Yeah, I also would like to make you song today, to wish all Kayamita a happy coming Chinese New Year. May the blessing of the Triple Gem be with you all. May you all have joy, happiness, and wholesomeness more and more. And may your good and noble wishes be realized as soon as possible. And make full use of this period to cultivate, especially New Year time. Whatever you do, maintain mindfulness. Be mindful, be aware, and contemplate. Reflect, develop more and more understanding, more and more gratitude, kanan, then develop contentment, develop joy, happiness, more and more virtue, love, compassion, then all the various type of virtue, then also respect towards parent, if you still have parents, or whoever, your teacher or whatever, or whoever who has helped you before, express your thanks, your gratitude, then develop more and more wholesomeness within, then try to be mindful of your mind state, then root out all the duality, the unhappy, negative tendency of thinking. So straighten your view, develop the initial wisdom to have less and less problem with life, with sense experience and activity that is going on. Then after that, you will have a very beautiful, good year, new year. Because during Chinese New Year, I realized a lot of people always wish people all the good things. Wish you a happy and prosperous New Year, good health, good life, stay safe, stay healthy, everything. So this one is your words, your sincere wish. That did help a bit. But for people to really receive all this, they have to do their part. They have to cultivate wholesomeness. You cannot wish for prosperity, health, good life and all those things by not taking care of your karma, not developing the parami of generosity and all those things. So you have to know it's a combination. Whatever we wish is the good mind state. But whether it materializes or not depends on karma. So karma is more important. So if we develop the wholesomeness, the cultivation, we are following the Buddha Dhamma, the advice of the Buddha, and then all this can manifest, then it will come to you naturally. So with this understanding, hopefully all kayamitas can make yourself that understanding to develop the good life. So once again, remind everybody, like the notice from Sui, today is our last session, then we will have 2 weeks of break until February 25th. Our class will start again. Then Sui An has proposed this Sunday, coming Sunday, 5th, is it 5th? Or is it 5th? Let's see. Oh, sorry. I don't know what day. Coming Sunday.
14, brother.
14, okay. He suggested we have a Zoom session for New Year. The Zoom will start at 3 p.m. same time. But it's a Sunday. So no class, no formal class, but it's just a Zoom gathering of Kayamita for Chinese New Year. Then Sui An say, get ready your cookie. Then we can have Chinese New Year, what they call, potluck, snack time. Then at the same time, tea time, and at the same time, we can have our Zoom session. So I have already appointed Sui An to be the MC. I hope he remember. So I haven't received his program yet. Maybe later. So this is just to let all Kayamita know that we will break off for 14 days. We will continue on the 25th. I think Thursday is it? 25th. Thursday. So in between, we will have this Chesa, Sui An say Chesa, yeah, correct. This Sunday is Chosam. So lunchtime, I think most of us are free. You are free, you can log in so that we can have our Chinese New Year gathering of Kayamita tea time meetup. Then we can have our whatever informal sharing or whatever. So I believe it should be something very meaningful and wholesome too, because of MCO. Otherwise, there will be a lot of lunch and dinner, I remember. Every year, Chinese New Year, my schedule is full. And like they say, eat and eat and eat. But please, try not to overeat. Restrain a bit. Find out exactly what your body allow you to. Okay, so with this, I think we will end the video session.
Thank you, Alicia. Yeah. How are you?
Good. Alicia also good.
Maybe I just do some sharing a little bit on my own daily life lah.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Because you know, in construction, especially over the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Been really very intense.
Especially when
the MCO kicks in and the numbers of
COVID
actions
around
Malaysia keep on going. So we have to handle people who are in so much fear.
Especially our
bosses. And the workers. So every night I come back, try to meditate, but end up I totally knock out.
No problem. Sometimes you're too tired. You need to rest. You rest. No problem. There you know how to rest.
There are some times that I can manage just a very, very short while. Just very, very short while. I know that suddenly there's no thought. Nothing.
Completely silent. Very good.
But I'm not asleep.
Correct. You are aware. Yes.
But it's just a very, very short.
Yeah. Correct. But you are very relaxed on during that moment. No thought.
But
nothing.
After that, I still knock out lah.
No problem. Then you need to rest. You rest. Need to sleep. You sleep. You will have good sleep because you know how to meditate and you know how to confront construction thing and resolve it amicably. So the understanding help you. You no longer like last time project your thought, fear, trigger off fear, worry, anxiety. All this will not disturb you anymore. Where you have that understanding already. And you have gone through many of all those tests. That's why you are very deep now. So manager rejoins with you. You improve a lot. You are more calm now, more peaceful. You can handle things better.
Once in a while, those memories or something at the back will come and sit. But I'm always coming back again.
You can see them. These are the old habitual thinking.
Take
a while to root out and never mind, let it come back. But when
one experience I want to share, but it's a dream. And it was a dream just on the eve of MCO. Because we have a very long meeting and to do, what to prepare, how to handle. And when I came back, I had a dream, I was so tired, I had a dream. I was dreaming that I was in Pama Suri's house. Doing our usual puja and then meditation. And then after all that, at the end, you have a sharing session. And then at the end, at the back of the room, there was Brother Tune's father. And he stood up to share. So something very fun, interesting is Brother Tune's father was very young. He stood up and then he was very strong and then he started to share. And to cut it short, he was sharing that and telling all of us, as long as we continue to cultivate, the inner Buddha in you will arise.
That message is fantastic, sadhu.
And suddenly there is like a very bright, very, very bright,
bright light.
Bright light.
Yeah, sadhu.
Yeah, come out. So, I woke up lah.
But
it's only a dream lah, it's not real lah, it's just a dream. Next day I was... thinking and contemplating. So I just realized that sometimes I was trying very hard to meditate. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't get it.
It's okay.
But from the dream I just suddenly it hit me and it's like it's a process. Process. I just need to enjoy it.
Whether
it's a good meditation or not good meditation, it's a process.
That is the right attitude, part of the cultivation, part of the way. It's just like in life.
It's
just like in life. There are ups and downs. Success and failure, they always happen, unfold. So when we take care of karma, take care of life, then there will be more success, more and more wholesomeness. So all this, you will understand. That's why no problem. Then also, from what I can feel is, if you have long meeting and all those things, then come back, you can have this type of dream is very good. There are causes and conditions for all these things because you must have developed that very strong interest in attending all those classes and sessions. That's why it can come out like from the subconscious arise that you are there and all those things. But about Brother Teo's father, one that message or thing, I think it could be something related to, I'm not very sure, but it could be something related to because of your affinity, and there is condition for it to unfold and manifest for you to share with us or not. So at least Brother Teo will rejoice, and Padmasri will rejoice. Because the father actually, not bad. During those Thursday class when we were having it there, he really joined us and participated in the puja offering, and sometimes he sit through the talk, the sharing. The Dhamma, the vibration, everything that goes in, and the faith actually can develop a lot of wholesomeness. Then maybe after his passing away, he could have taken birth in a good rhyme based on what Padmasri said. The few days before he passes on, he was full of joy, he was full of like wholesomeness and very confident and say, we are very blessed, you are very blessed, it's like he know where the destination is, so it must be in the good destination. So maybe there is some form of affinity that I come through message through you. He suddenly come out and deliver the Dhamma and so beautiful. Cultivate sincerely, and each and every one of us will realize the beautiful Buddha nature within. So such message is not easy. Unless it's in a good rhyme, with the understanding. So this is to maybe give confidence to cultivator, to commitors. So if the dad actually developed the faith only and do those things. But it has been for many sessions, I remember we were there for very long. Then that imprint that he had, he's always, even Sri An also that day at the wake, mentioned, he sat near him and all the thing, and Sri An can feel all the thing. So, like you say, he appear young.
Yeah.
Oh, like you for one.
I think maybe in the 60s, 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that it's just a dream. I know.
That is good news. Because all this, there is a reason for the dream, the arising. So there are causes and conditions behind. So this is something very wholesome. So we should rejoice. Sadhu. Also, thank you for the good sharing. Sadhu.
Which is what you have been sharing for the past 1 month.
Persevere
through our karmic relationship.
Yes.
With the people surrounding.
Yeah.
And cultivate diligently and have faith.
Trust.
Have faith.
Correct.
And trust.
Sadhu. So, very good.
So this is the is the message that I got.
Yeah.
And I learned for this month's class.
Sadhu. Very good. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. I would like to thank Alicia and Colin for the good fellowship sharing. Sadhu, I think we should end. Thank you.
See you this Valentine's
Day. No problem. 14th of February, Valentine. That Sunday Zoom is Valentine. Okay, what a coincidence. But a lot of people... now can dine in 2 person. So those who have Valentine, you can go. No need to join the Zoom. Maybe at the Valentine, you feel boring, you can on your phone to log in.
Brother, I remember last time you passed us the yellow card was also on Valentine's Day.
Oh, is it? Oh, Sadhu. Wow.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Could be, because Padmasuri do it always.
Padmasuri's house.
Near the New Year Day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alright. Yeah.
Good night. So, good night. We will end the whole thing. Happy Chinese New Year to all. Have a good celebration. Thank you, Sadhu.
Thank you.
Yeah.